Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio, a basketball edition with our beat writer on the men's basketball beat, Oliver Hayes. Oliver, you've been killing it with your content since you came on board with BuffStampede.com. Appreciate you. I'm glad that you at least got to cover a winning basketball team this year as opposed to last year.
Yeah, no, for sure. This team was also much more exciting. There was a lot more potential heading into the year with just how many unknowns. With last year's team, obviously there was Elijah Malone and Trevor Baskin and some of the freshmen, Sebastian Rancic and Felix Cesaris coming in. So there was a little bit of a surprise, but with how old the team was and some of the transfers coming in, I think people kind of expected. Maybe not a 3-17 finish that last year produced, but a lot of people kind of expect that, where this year was like, this team probably isn't going to do anything too amazing, but Barrington Hargreaves obviously could do something. People expected Sebastian Rancic and Bangad Dak to make a jump, and then all the freshmen. It was like, when you have what it ended up being 9 freshmen, at least one of them had to hit. So just a lot more exciting on a game to game basis, a lot more, and then just outside of keeping the turnovers down, a lot more shot making. It felt like across the Big 12, beyond Colorado, there was just a lot more talent, especially at that freshman level. And so, beyond just Colorado basketball, this year was just a whole lot more fun, in general, in the college basketball world.
Yeah, Colorado finishes 17 and 15, and they are headed to the Crown out in Vegas, going to play on April 1st. We'll get into that, but Oliver, I got to ask you, we're recording this 9:32 right now on Friday morning. How's your bracket looking?
Honestly, it's looking not bad. I was a little nervous, obviously, with that Duke game. I had them going
Yeah.
fairly deep. I think maybe in my Final Four, either the Elite Eight or Final Four. My one big upset of the day was going to be USF, and they almost came back and made it a game after being down by over 20 points. But besides that, my bracket's looking pretty good. I think I called the High Point game because I saw the Chase Johnson stats and then, so I was like, you know what? I'll ride with him, and he stepped up. So we're doing all right. How about
Did
you?
you pick High Point in that game?
I did. I have to look.
I did
Maybe
not know
yeah.
what High Point was until Sunday when the selections came out.
Yeah.
That was a new
Here
one
we
for me.
go.
Look
We got High Point.
at
So
you, Oliver.
yeah. But see, I mean, a lot of green. We have a ton of green right here.
That's
We're at
why I'm asking the questions and you're giving the answers here on this
yeah, nine
podcast.
96.2% at the moment, so we're doing okay.
Okay. Awesome. What surprised you the most, both positively and negatively, with this Colorado men's basketball team during this 25-26 season?
Yeah, so I have to make sure I keep this concise, because with that, with my first answer, obviously there was a lot of expect or lack of expectations, I guess. So it was kind of
My
wasn't sure
office
where to
chair can
start.
go back, so if you want me to get comfortable, I can just listen to you talk for a while. That'd be good too. So don't be worried about being long-winded here.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll see. I made sure to write down my ideas before I came in here, so. So yeah, but I guess I'll start with the negative to make sure that we can, and answer on a
Okay.
positive note. I guess to start with the negative, I didn't expect the front court to not as take it as big of a leap. I talked about, Rancic and Dak, people hoping that they'd make the leap, this offseason, and things just kind of didn't work out. I'm not sure exactly what happened with Rancic. I don't think he shot the ball as well as he necessarily would have hoped. But when it came to a guy like BD, obviously he dealt with injuries, and then with Elijah Malone, with his senior season, he dealt with a shoulder injury that he has to get surgery on. I'm not sure if he's already gotten the surgery, if he's gonna try and play in the Crown. I don't know exactly what his plan is, but injuries kind of derailed the front court a little bit. But either way, I felt like they would have had a hard time in the Big 12. So I think that was probably the biggest negative of things, and then probably right behind that would probably be the lack of shooting. I thought this team, when they went to Australia and showed some of the preseason exhibitions and stuff like that, and there were 7 to 9 different Buffs hitting three pointers in games, I thought that was going to be more of a norm. And then throughout the season, I think there was only a handful of times that had happened. And most times that happened, it resulted in wins. But really, outside of it, seemed like Barrington Hargreaves and Isaiah Johnson, maybe a few hits from Sebastian Rancic. It really seemed like those three were the only guys who got their 3-point stroke going throughout the year. Whereas, I didn't necessarily expect like Jalen Holland or Josiah Sanders to be lighting it up, but I expect them to hit a little bit more, and kind of the same thing with BD and some of the other guys. So I'd say the front court, and how that kind of unfolded, whether it was offensively, defensively, rebounding, I'd say that was probably the biggest negative, and the lack of shooting. It was the second thing in terms of the expectations. In terms of the positives, I mean, there's a number of things I could go to, but I think the assist to turnover ratio is probably the big thing. Just because turnovers have always been an issue from what I've seen in Tadboa's tenure. It obviously was the biggest issue
Always,
last year.
always an issue. Always an issue. Yeah, that 100%. Yeah, I just want to co-sign that with vigor in my voice.
Yeah, so maybe you could, bring up some past names that have helped past Buffs teams keep the turnovers down.
It's
But
been
yeah,
rare.
the
It's been very rare.
yeah, because I mean, I'm not that old, but I mean, yeah, some of the first few games I started going to, yeah, I mean, I just remember the turnovers against presses and stuff like
Well,
that,
that was
but
part of kind of Tadz Boyle's philosophy as a coach, is that if you can get guys to really hone in on the defensive goals in terms of limiting the percentage. What is this percentage? It's like under 40% or like 42 or 43,
yeah,
something
under
like that.
40% from the field.
Yeah. And then the rebounding advantage, he gives guys freedom offensively. And but I think over time, like, now you've got, like, when you've got Isaiah Johnson and Hargreaves as your point guards, you have more mature guys in that role. Even though one of them's a true freshman, they just understand the game a little bit better. I think it was kind of the difference in my mind.
Yeah. Because I mean, I could definitely see that in comparison to some of the guards that I've seen for you the past see you the past few seasons that I've covered the team. Because of course, KJ Sampson was fantastic. I didn't expect him to take care of the ball as well as he did his junior year. After the turnover issues he showed his first few years at CU, Julian Hammond, obviously, he was a bench guy that was forced into a starting role in CU to have the greatest success. But you look at that, like that two guard position, that second guard, which is usually played for defense. And at the beginning of this year, to your point, it was Felix Cassaris that was in the starting lineup for the Buffaloes, for that defensive side of things. And that wasn't until, or not until Isaiah Johnson got going. He was on it from the beginning of the year, but until, he broke into the lineup, that Cassaris kind of went to the bench, and it had that switch. But either way, with how much Isaiah was playing, before he broke into the starting lineup, as Tad had talked about, having those two guys on the floor at the same time most of the time was, kept down the turnovers. And you could also look at, I felt like in past years there was some of the wings would have to handle the ball a little bit more. I feel like Sebastian Rancic is a guy who's great with the ball in his hands, but also you have Josiah Sanders and Jalen Holland and guys who played a lot of point guard and had the ball in their hands in high school a decent amount. So I think that it was, beyond Hargreaves and Johnson, just the roster construction led to limiting the turnovers. And I think next year, with how talented this team can be, if they stick around, you could see that ball moving around and, see a lot more of those 20 plus assist games.
I don't want to pick on one player, but Sebastian Rancic, you've talked about him in this podcast. He shot 40% during the regular season. That's not good enough for his skill set.
Yeah, especially for a guy who's, I think they have him listed at 6'11". And for someone who, what stood out to me the biggest this year was how hard he drove the ball. It felt like there was no one on last year's team that was willing to drive the ball and fight through contact and be able to finish at the rim. And then all of a sudden, especially in that Kansas game, Sebi was like, you know what? I'm only 19, but I can go do this. And so I expected a lot more of that this year. And I think, I alluded to it earlier in the podcast. I think he just got a little jump shot happy. There were times where I think last year where he would have gotten a handoff in transition, he would have taken, a dribble or two and gone to the rack and gotten fouled. Where this year he walked into a three. That was a few feet behind the line. And there would be times where he would drive and it seemed like he would maybe have a step or be able to go up strong through a guy, but he'd opt for a fadeaway pull up or spin into a little post fade type of thing. And he can make those shots. I think those type of shots are the shots that will make him a pro. That make him so special. Like you need a guy like that to hit those shots. It's the reason why AJ DaBonsi, you watch him score 35 yesterday, and he's doing it all on those type of, post fades, pull-ups, etc., because that's how you score against the best defenders and double teams and things like that. Sebby needs to do that for the Buffs to be a top-tier team in the Big 12. Just this year, I don't think that. I think he opted for too many of those shots, and that's why his field goal percentage was as low as it was. Because outside of that, there was he, I think outside of Hargreaves and Johnson, he was the one of the top 3 minute getters on the Buffs, just to what he adds defensively, and what he can add to the offense, even when he's not scoring the ball. We saw how his rebounding on both sides of the floor came along down the stretch of the season.
Good stuff, Oliver. Yeah, you are at a discreet location there. We're not going to give it away. Yeah, you're getting over a flu. Your voice is coming through fine. Sometimes your video gets a little choppy, so I'm going to point that out for folks. But everything I've heard from you has been great through this. And now I want to hear you give a breakdown of the matchup against Oklahoma in the first round of the Crown. This is not maybe the matchup you want in the first round out there in Vegas, huh?
So I don't know. You honestly may be able to give a little bit better of a preview, given that you were actually around when and Colorado and Oklahoma were in the Big 12 together. but looking at the current day, I didn't watch much of Oklahoma this year, given that they finished 11th in the SEC. And honestly, I wasn't horribly impressed by the SEC, but at the end of the day, they're a Power Four conference, and just like the Buffs, finishing 11th in the Big 12, finishing 11th in the SEC is nothing to overlook. As you said, Oklahoma is arguably the hardest pull of the tourney for this first round. I think it should be a fun matchup for the CU team, because in comparison to the Buffs, this Oklahoma team is led by older guys. It's a lot more seniors and juniors, upperclassmen, and stuff like that. So I think it'll be fun for a fun segue for the Buffaloes to kind of show what a young group can do to an older group, after playing together and sticking together, and things like that, and kind of just maybe use that as a good sentiment heading into the offseason. And things like that. But looking more at the matchup, Oklahoma, they can shoot the ball real well. They were one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the SEC. So I'd say that's the scariest thing for the Buffaloes, given how bad they were at covering the three ball this whole entire year. Of course, the CSU game with the 18 3-pointers on 35 attempts stands out. But the whole year, Colorado struggled against guarding the 3-point ball. Oklahoma can't do that. Led by their senior point guard, Nigel Pack. Who the Buffs played against a few years ago when he was with Miami, I believe. But on the flip side of that, Oklahoma isn't the tallest. Their interior scoring is pretty low. Their rebounding is pretty low. But both those categories are towards the bottom of the SEC in averages. And in games where the Buffs had a better front court, it was pretty night and day. When they had a better front court, they won. When they didn't, in the Big 12, they lost. If I had to personally pick based on the front court matchup, I think CU has the slight edge. But with the 3-point, numbers that Oklahoma has produced this year, I mean, any team that can shoot the 3-point ball is kind of a wild card. But especially against this Buffs team and how rough the rotations have been this entire season, against teams that they've known that can shoot the 3-point ball. Obviously not great to be in a preview and be like, yeah, this game could go either way. But I think with those two specific areas that the Buffs have been strong in and then not strong in, I think that makes it a really confusing and but fun first round matchup.
And the Circa is going to have like a has a fan package out there that seems like if you're a diehard CU men's basketball fan, that seems like a fun time to go out there. But you got to be a diehard. You got to be a diehard. My wife and I talk about this all the time, Oliver. Like, one of our greatest memories covering the Buffs is going out to TBT when Zach Ribasom was coaching Andre Robertson and Evan Battie and those guys out there in Wichita. And some of those, if you love hoops, this is a tournament for you. I think it's going to be a fun time. I actually like the Crown better than the NIT. Well, did you have a preference for the Buffs going into this?
I think for me, I wanted the NIT or the CBC, the Crown, just because the money prize pool. It's nothing huge, but a little bit more of an award than the NIT. But yeah, personally, like I don't know, I've always been a March Madness guy. Like I only watch NIT whenever I was bored. So I didn't really go one way or the other outside of the prize pool. Don't know. What about you? Have you ever had any like NIT memories or things like that?
Well, so early in Tad Boyle's tenure, they got robbed. They should have been in the NCAA tournament. It actually was such an egregious snub that Jay Billis went on ESPN and said right after the selection show that I don't know if these selection committee people know what shape a basketball is. That's how egregious it was. Being at Tad Boyle's house and them to get snubbed the way they did, and then to see them go out to Madison Square Garden in the NIT that year with Alec Burks and Corey Higgins and those guys, it made it memorable. But I think that's literally the only NIT experience that I remember. Like, it's for gamblers, I think, mostly, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean, obviously I don't gamble. I hate that stuff. But yeah, doesn't sound like too happy of an NIT memory. I don't think too many people have too
Well,
happy NIT memories, but
Colorado made it to Madison Square though. After I thought it was really impressive of that group to take the disappointment of knowing that they 100% deserved to be in the NCAA tournament that year. There was no question. That's of all the years I've been kind of watching that bubble watch, and I'm not a big fan of the whole play-in games, but I guess if you can reduce that bubble field a little bit. Maybe that's not the worst thing in the world, but that year was just brutal because they were guaranteed to go into the NCAA tournament based on their RPI. It was one of the highest RPIs or lowest RPIs that's ever not gotten a team into as an auto as a bid into the NCAA tournament. So that was frustrating, but that team rallied. Levi Knutson was a three-point sniper. That group really rallied to do some special things, and they made it to the Final Four there in Madison Square. So it actually ended up being a good memory, but the beginning of that was not good. NIT in general, not a big fan. Taco Bell has officially entered the chicken game, and they have brought back their next level chicken nuggets. These premium all-white meat chicken nuggets are marinated with bold Mexican spices and coated in a crunchy tortilla chip breading. And a nuggets meal is not complete without adding a great dipping sauce. So Taco Bell has created a collab with Hidden Valley to create its signature Diablo Ranch dipping sauce. This dipping sauce delivers the perfect combination of herb buttermilk ranch with a kick of spice to take these nuggets to the next level. Pick up a 5 or 10 count of nuggets today. And don't forget to add one of the new items from Taco Bell's Luxe Value menu with 10 items for $3 or under. The Luxe Value menu at Taco Bell delivers bold, irresistible flavor and crave-worthy items at unbelievable prices. Nobody delivers everyday value and supports your home teams like Taco Bell. Live Mas at Taco Bell. We got to get back into this NCAA tournament, though. What's your Final Four?
Yeah, so I have two because I made one in the March Madness live app, and then I made one in my ESPN. So I'll go to my ESPN and have that pulled up. So I have Oh wow. Okay. So I guess I had Duke in my Final Four in my ESPN one. So that's why I was really sweating it out yesterday. Still definitely nervous after that performance. And honestly, all their comments about like, just the weird mindset that they came into, just being like, oh yeah, we thought it was gonna be easy. We had to lock in. Like, okay, let's move past that. But besides Duke, in my Final Four, I have them taking on Illinois. And then the other game is Arizona versus Iowa State in a Big 12 semifinals rematch.
I
And then
like
winning it
it.
all, I
Okay.
have winning it all, I have Arizona, which is I absolutely hate it. I know the fans will hate it. But that is, I mean, I'm not sure if there's a, if I've ever seen a stronger top eight, players rotation wise in college basketball. It's just like, I mean, it's crazy. They got eight starters, on that team. It's insane. But what about you? What is your Final Four looking like?
I had to go Arizona. One thing my father told me was that at a very young age, deal with this, not with this. And I've got Arizona and Duke in the finals. If I was going with the heart, those teams are not getting there. But I feel like those are the two best teams in college basketball. Although you can certainly make a whole segment out of the Duke side of that thing right now, after what happened with Siena yesterday. But no, I think it was a wake-up call for them. I think they're going to be just fine. I'll be honest though, I think I dislike UConn more than any team in college basketball right now because of their head coach. And I actually covered UConn recruiting back when I was a youngster, when I was about your age. So that's the team that I just cannot pick to go far. You a Hurley
Yeah,
fan?
I didn't have not too much. I mean, I'm more a Bobby Hurley fan. I like his theatrics a little bit more
Okay.
than Danny's. But I definitely like, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this necessarily, because I wouldn't say like I'm a fan necessarily, but watching him on the sidelines when the Buffs beat him last year, I'm not a fan of him in that moment, but I really appreciated him being the
You
opposing head
respect
coach.
him. You got
Yeah, yeah,
respect.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
definitely.
That's fair enough. I mean, he's won a lot of freaking games there. They're really good. So it's hard to doubt that. I've got Houston in my Final Four, and then my underdog was Alabama beating Michigan, getting to the Final Four. Holy hell, I have no idea. This thing might get ripped up by tomorrow, so
I wouldn't even say anything about the Alabama stuff. That's a tough pick.
you just got to get lucky sometimes.
I guess, yeah. that's a tough one. That makes me laugh, but I don't know. I like the Houston pick at least. I don't have as
Okay.
much faith in them as I had last year, because I think I had them winning it all last year. And then yeah, I don't have him in the Final Four this year, but I like the Houston pick. Hopefully Kelvin Sampson and the Cougars can get it done and save whatever Alabama doesn't do for you.
All right. Well, I appreciate the support there and the laughter. The mocking was fun for this podcast. Is anybody gonna beat St. Louis, by the way? That team looked like a juggernaut last night for a minute there. That was fun
Yeah,
watching them beat
no.
up on Georgia.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. I think the best tweet I saw about it was like, St. Louis is the foremost athletic guys you've ever seen in transition, and then your local church pastor is somehow your best player in Robbie Avila. And I was like, yeah, that's a decent way to describe it. But I mean, yeah, they're super fun to watch. So I mean, hopefully they keep winning.
Well, stay tuned to BuffStampede.com. Oliver is going to have coverage of the crown coming up. There's some other topics we were going to hit on. There's some stuff, Oliver, I feel like with these other topics, talking about Fernando Lovo and the importance of maintaining this roster, Ryder Portella's senior season, recapping that. Needs for this upcoming offseason. There's things we're going to create another new podcast, and you've got In the Heyday, so you've got your own thing going on the hoop side. So tell folks how they can support your coverage of Colorado men's basketball.
Yeah, so I'm still, a student at the moment. working out things. I'm finishing my capstone. I'm graduating in May. So the coverage is, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it'll look like for this next year. But at the moment, you mentioned in the heyday, I post that on YouTube and Spotify. I don't think we have a Buff Stampede Spotify, but I post on the Buff Stampede YouTube and I post it on the board and thread and whatnot on three. So of course, go listen to that whenever I post. I post all my articles on three. And then, I mean, I try and do the whole social media thing, because that's the biggest thing I've heard from all my friends. They're like, oh yeah, I won't download the app or go to the website, but do you have a social media? And I'll be like, yeah, I have Instagram. And they'll be like, oh well, I'm not on Instagram. Do you have TikTok? And I'm like, oh, well, I got TikTok. So follow me on literally anything: Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Blue Sky, YouTube. I think that's it at the moment. But I post interview clips, breakdowns, analysis. After the Buffs lost in their first round of Kansas City, I turned into a photographer for a little bit.
You got some good barbecue
literally
out
any
there too, right? So
yeah, I did.
Q39, I got to hit up Q39. I keep hearing.
Yeah, no,
Who
that's the
what'd you
place.
get there?
I went with their combo plate. So I had the ribs, the brisket, the mac and cheese. I think it was like some potato salad as the other side, but yeah, all around great stuff. Not as
Okay.
good, not as good as Houston, I'd say, or Dallas, I mean. When we went down to Dallas for the Big 12 Football Media Day, I'd say that barbecue was better. But but yeah, but either way, Kansas City Q39. Shout out to them.
You mentioned all those social media accounts you're on. Is the handle the same for all of those? I want people to be able to log in and follow you today if I can.
Yeah, I think on everything it should be OCU Hayes. The CU is a part of my middle name, by the way. Not actual CU. That's just a coincidence. On Instagram it should be Oliver Hayes dot on three. So
Awesome.
pretty simple. I'm sure he'll put it in the description or something.
Appreciate you, Oliver. And again, we're going to catch up on the other side of this crown tournament. We're going to recap that. And in the meantime, check out Oliver Hayes in the Heyday podcast to get the latest on the Buffaloes men's basketball program. Tad Boyle has already said he's going to be back next year. And Oliver Hayes has joined us at On3. So it's exciting times for our coverage of the CU men's basketball program. Appreciate you, Oliver.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in.